is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And for the discussion of the week, we are going to talk about 4 camera towers destroyed, posted on August 6 on A News.
From Rose City Counter Info. A few nights ago, we decided to challenge ourselves and wreck 4 camera towers in one night. We found that it was easier than we expected and a lot of fun too. We got one by the pedestrian bridge near Clinton and 14th, one at the CVS on 33rd, and 2 at Fred Meyer's on 28th. We found that took us less than 30 seconds to climb the tower, smash all the cameras, destroy the solar panels, and write a message, and slash the tires of the trailer. We got our inspiration for climbing the tower from another communique. We didn't encounter any trouble on our adventures, and some homies even cheered us on and thanked us for taking care of these nuisances. We were able to get the flashing blue lights to turn off by smashing the box at the top of the camera tower, but we encourage everyone to keep experimenting to find faster and more efficient ways to kill them.
Okay.
Pictures obtained from social media. All right.
Yep. I think at least for me, it will be a part of this conversation will be more an interview of you because you know much more, you are more aware of the things with flock camera and stuff than I am.
Yeah.
So would you like to give me a reminder, like, what are flock cameras and why are they evil? I mean, cameras are all evil, but...
Yeah, so Flock is a particular company. They make a few different models of camera. And I would say that the thing that is unique-ish about them is that they are networked across the country and organized into extremely searchable databases and also use... AI for license plate recognition and possibly other types of recognition, like car recognition, like if a car has dents or something like that in it, which means that probably also they have facial recognition and things like that. They're a proprietary device, and so the full extent of the software on them is not known.
Yes.
In addition to that, right? Oh yeah, and so they're extremely searchable. Like pretty much any officer in a city that has a contract with Flock can just log in and look up any car he wants and see everywhere that it's been recorded by a Flock camera.
Yes.
Which, since there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them across the country. Can create a pretty comprehensive map of somewhere, of everywhere that someone has been.
Yes.
There are other things a little like this, but not quite so robust. Ring cameras, right? Which I guess you could kind of think of, I mean, they're different brands, but you kind of think of as like flock cameras for people's homes. Have similar networked capacity, right? People were... there was a big backlash during the Super Bowl when Ring or Nest? Nest is like Ring for Google or something. I want to say it was Ring. Showed off this new, like, find a lost dog trick, basically, that you could do.
Yeah.
That involved using all the Ring cameras in your neighborhood to look for something you entered in.
Yes.
And people... who saw that commercial pretty reasonably freaked out, and the company at least claims that it has disabled that feature for the time being.
Yes. And that reminds me of something we were talking earlier, because you were saying that this thing against flock camera, it's almost bipartisan. But for different reasons, right? And I don't know in what level, and if you want to talk more about it, because I don't know in what level it's bipartisan, in a sense like that I still think like the medium liberal is still wants that. I don't know.
I think you might be underestimating people. I think each political bracket has its reason for not wanting it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe like center-right Republicans are the only group that are like broadly a fan of them. I think, you know, anarchists in the far left, or we'll call it the left, disapprove of them for, or like dislike them for reasons that are obvious to anyone listening to this podcast. I think liberals maybe wouldn't hate them during like a Biden presidency,
mm-hmm.
but because right now they're being used by the federal like government to feed information to ICE.
Yeah.
I think they're against them.
Yeah.
And I also think that we'll have to see, but I'm optimistic that going forward also these years have shown even a lot of liberals like why it's important to not have such repressive infrastructure.
Yeah. Why do you think that the center-right might be fine with that? Because for some reason, I think it's more like on the Democrat side that would think like, oh, that's so nice. We can, you know.
Well, like I said, I think the reason that the Democrats are not right now is because of who's in power.
Yeah, yes, what they're being exactly.
Used for. So I mean the center right are the back the police people, right? The people who trust the police with authority and capacity. Like right. that's that bracket, right? The undeclared white supremacist who believes that these cameras will never be used against them.
Yeah, or they like they're not against the camera. They are against like a regular person using the cameras, but they think it's really good. Or maybe even not, like because I'm trying to think like the enemy here. I'm trying to think like they might find that it's good also because they can protect their neighborhood, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Neighborhood watch thing.
Right, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. The people who trust the police and support the police.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, I'm trying... Sorry, I wasn't clear. I was trying to go get there.
I think once you get even a little further right than that, the pandemic and the Biden years and really everything since like the militia movement of the 90s are not fans of that type of surveillance, at least. And you are seeing, like I was saying, in West Virginia, like the group that's opposed, like the group that's like legislatively opposing them right now is the Freedom Caucus, which for folks who aren't familiar is like the like Tea Party born group of like far right wing nuts in any legislature in the country, basically. I think also like what's been interesting to me is like my YouTube algorithm has fed me some videos regarding both Flock and DeFlock and of different natures, and it seems like a lot of the like slop tube YouTubers who tend to exist even in the center right seem a bit freaked out by them. You and I were just watching a video where Tyler Oliveira follows around a vigilante who's pulling down Flock cameras in Minneapolis. And Tyler Oliveira is like a center-right, soft racist. I don't know what you want to call him. You know what I mean? Like he's one of these people who would deny being racist, probably genuinely doesn't.
A closet racist.
Yeah. Well, and also I think like doesn't know that he's racist because he's an American. And so like his views actually are like within
That is sadly funny.
Yeah, no, are within the like socially acceptable Overton window.
Yes.
But are like really fucking racist.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, so he, you know, has had, right? And I mean, these are people with like 6 million followers. You know? Yeah. Another one, you know, a YouTuber that I like, Ben Jordan, but was on a much larger YouTuber's page. And they went out and, you know, harassed Flock employees at the office and did a big expose on Flock. And I was like, this is interesting. Like, who is this journalist that Ben Jordan is running around with? And like the rest of that dude's stuff is not progressive on any level. It's also like this kind of like shock content that tends to be socially reactionary, where it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff that like covers like drug neighborhoods and that sort of stuff, but always from a like a slightly Law and Order, you know, angle. Yeah. You know, they're always able to find like the one junkie to interview who's like, the problem here is the police won't do their job or whatever, you know, like those folks. There's one of them in every fucking video, and these are the folks that go find those people all the time.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, after they interview the homeless person saying that the police need to do their job, then they find the police officer to talk about how hard it is to do his job, you know, and now we've got a narrative, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't use slurs or whatever, but it's like they're part of this. Anyway, and so I've just thought it's interesting, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I guess Ben Jordan went on Tucker Carlson's podcast even to talk about it, and Tucker Carlson interviewed him, which is like, you know, is the bridge from, you know, like...
Wait, I'm getting... So Ben Jordan is
Ben Jordan is the anarchish... I think he probably identifies as an anarchist. I think... Probably people in this milieu would take some issue with it, but anyway. But he's an anti-surveillance activist, I would say.
I we're not going there because we're trying to stay focused. But it's complicated that he went to the
I mean, I think it's good to do, but
let's not go there. So. About these, so about like the thing they are doing in this post that it's called 4 camera towers destroyed. They're obviously there are points not to discuss. What are the camera? I don't think they even say Flock cameras. They just say cameras in general. But the point is, and I think it's interesting because they say like they got the idea from a different communication. So it's basically like propaganda I don't know if propaganda is that, but it's like really like, hey people, this is easy to do. Let's do it. It's a call for action.
Yeah.
Basically.
I thought it was because of the audio nature of the podcast, you can't see the pictures, but if you go to the article, both the pictures use the term camover, which is like basically a public call for action slash game that came out of Germany in 2013, I want to say. And was basically, Germans in different cities and neighborhoods, like gamifying the removal of security cameras.
Yeah.
In like a competitive fashion.
Yeah.
So it's a callback to that as well.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting call, and it seems like it's working, and the thing that you brought up before about like that's not just an anarchist thing. But then I think like, is there a difference? Like, do you think, is there a difference? Like, between an anarchist action this way. And again, like, not again, I'm not going against, I'm not trying to minimize. I think that's awesome. I'm loving it. I'm just trying to really think the difference. Like, do you think there is a difference between, like, the anarchist action in this sense and the, like, the right wing you just mentioned that we watch it? Like,
a difference in what way?
I don't know, like, I can't think. That's kind of why I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if someone is protective of the anarchist brand, then maybe there's, like, debate to be had. But to me, like, I think for pushing back on these massive forces like Flock that oftentimes appear in cities without the consent of anyone except for, like, a small, like, city council or, like, police department or something like that. Like, yeah. There's no public input, I think. And the fact that they have, like, a network power, right? Where the more of them there are, the more effective they are.
Yeah.
I don't really think there are any bad allies in that struggle. Now, I'm not saying that those are people who you want to, you know, let into other stuff or you know, that you want to hang out with socially.
It's more like the call to action doesn't have, like, one, like, it's not like, oh, you're not an anarchist, you're not invited to this call. No, it seems like that's not. They even mention in the article, like, there were people, like, kind of cheering for them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing is, it's like, right, like, if weird, like, conservative Mormons in small town in Salt Lake City, right, decide that they don't want Flock cameras in their city, that's good for me.
Yeah.
Right? That means that if I drive through their city, like, I'm not surveilled, you know? And it also means that, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, like, that's the thing is that because it's a network that's being built, we're going to need a very broad cultural buy-in.
Yeah.
Because it's being part of the infrastructure is being built out in parts of the U.S. that, like, we have absolutely no foothold in, you know?
Yes.
It's a little bit like getting right-wingers to oppose, like, ICE detention centers and data centers and stuff like that near their towns as well, you know, where it's just like it doesn't matter whether or not they oppose them for the right reasons.
Yeah.
It matters that infrastructure becomes difficult to build.
Yes. Yes.
Now, whether or not they oppose them for the right reasons, you know, affects heavily going forward how we're able to interact with those people. You know, if your issue with the ICE detention center is that it's going to tank your property value and you don't want your kids growing up near a concentration camp, you know, but you don't really object to them existing, then, like, I guess we're working together on this project, but, like, we are not friends or comrades, you know?
Yes.
But for today, you know, you're making it more difficult to build the concentration camp. And so,
yeah,
you know,
I don't think these people would be against the concentration camp though. They just,
I'm telling you that's something that's happening. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of towns throughout the South in particular where, like, people don't want ICE detention centers in or near their towns.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, number one, it's terrible for your property value.
Yeah, no, you mentioned
the number two, these are, right, so I mean, like, an ICE detention center that holds 5,000 people, let's say.
Yeah.
That might be an increase in the population living off of the utility systems in your town by 50% if you're a 10,000 person town.
And I
you know,
I'm just guessing here that I also they probably don't like that where you have, of course, where you have a nice detention center, you have people going there protesting and all that. So you're also bringing activists to the area that they might not be interested in having around.
Sure. Yeah. That as well. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to want these things. And definitely, I mean, they have some of the same problems basically as the AI data centers, you know, where it's just, it's a thing that is not going to contribute to the commerce in your town, is probably getting some kind of a fucking tax break to be there. So might not even be contributing to like the tax base.
Yeah.
And is putting strain on your utilities and will probably have some kind of social blowback as well, you know?
Yes.
The jobs it produces are probably not good and probably not many, you know?
Yes.
And if your town is not doing really, really badly already, you don't actually want people in your town working those kinds of jobs, because like a town where half the people are employed as prison guards, which a lot of like Appalachian towns and stuff like that are, like, you get family problems, you know what I mean? Like, it has this, like, being spending all day in a concentration camp does not make you a great spouse when you get home, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know, like, in where I come from, like, there is, talking about prison, we're not leaving it's still the same subject, control and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the place where, like, there's a lot of small towns that they love to have prison, because prison means business. It's an investment, whatever. And it's not an investment in the sense that, oh, we're bringing more security. It's about jobs and all that. Yeah. And they, people seem very, I don't see a people complaining about it. Like, and usually the people in these small towns, they're terrible people.
Yes.
They're very conservative. It's the kind that, the father abused all their kids, and then they all go to church on Sundays. Yes. It's the extreme, like, or they might not abuse his own kids, but it actually happened. Like, there was a ring of people in one of these small towns that was just like, they would get kids for the politicians and the wealthy.
Yeah.
And they would give they would usually get small, kids from poor families, and they would give this family money. And I don't think they said what they were going to do, but fuck you, you know, fuck everyone, like from the poor to the wealthy there. It's like,
well, and that is why I said, if your town is not doing terribly already, you might not want a bunch of people working those kinds of jobs. Yeah, no, if your town is just like totally blown out by deindustrialization and OxyContin, then like,
oh no, but that was not the case.
No, I'm talking about up here.
Oh yes,
where they're building these things.
Right. Yeah. So I'm trying to think here, because I think this post is an interesting post, and it's a call for action. It's an interesting call for action, and it's interesting how it's like spreading, because it comes from another one and it's going. But I'm trying to think, like, what can we discuss from there? Because as I said, I'm not like, my knowledge on this is very, very, very shallow. What I can think is, I'm kind of stuck on the bipartisan thing. Just thinking like how these technologies and the way they are like making our lives miserable, how in a way like it's putting people on the same side in those matters, like with AI, drones and cameras and all that. And if that, and we cannot predict the future, but maybe because you are more aware of that, maybe you are reading like both sides of things, like do you think it is something that it's going somewhere? Like, does...
Yeah, I mean, I think that... Well, I mean, I guess I don't know what you mean by going somewhere. But I mean, I don't foresee, like, the left or anarchists working with, like, the nationalist right.
Yeah.
On, you know, projects. But I do... Even if it just makes repression of the milieu working against those projects more politically complicated,
mm-hmm.
like, that's a good thing. You know, where, like, if you can't, if the people, right, repressing anti-data center and anti-flock activism don't have one political profile to target, you know? It means that not only does, like, their threat base, like, expand drastically,
mm-hmm.
To make that harder to wrangle, but also the kind of rhetoric that they need to use to justify that repression becomes really threading a needle, you know, if you have people on both the left and the right targeting that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can't call them communists. You can't call them Nazi. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it becomes
a thing. Yeah, you can't use, like, the thing that Trump's trying to do, like, the anti-fascist, yeah. anti-terrorist.
Yeah, everyone transgender or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to me, like, that's what makes the thing really fascinating. And interesting to watch. Flock, the company itself, is trying to call people, has already called the organization that is DFLOC terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying right now to put a wedge between DFLOC and nonprofits. Actually, I think DFLOC is a nonprofit, but they're trying to put a wedge between them and more long-term established groups like the ACLU and the EFF.
What's a wedge? Sorry.
A wedge, like a menu, like.
It's okay.
It's a thing shaped like this that you put to drive two things apart.
Okay.
Right. So they're trying to So they're trying to be like the EFF and ACLU are groups that we disagree with, but like the way they do things are legitimate at least.
Yes.
Whereas DFLOC are terrorists. They are pro chaos and pro crime. You know.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of trying a bunch of. One thing I think is, or another thing I think is interesting with the flock stuff is that I feel like it is one of these things that needs to be battled on a lot of levels that anarchists don't like getting their hands dirty on as well.
Like what?
And so, I mean, just like legalistic, basically, right? Where it's like you actually cannot remove and damage them at a pace and consistency that will make them non-viable, right?
Yeah.
Like it is a thing that is, you know, without condoning it, like it is certainly a very short-term solution to the problem of them being there. But you know, especially if like in the video, like the guy's just putting tape over the lens,
yeah,
and cutting a $10 wire to the solar panel, you know?
Yes.
The folks in the communique on A News
did a better
job. Yeah, did a different job. Certainly rendered that thing entire, like, probably a total loss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think that that's the kind of stuff that anarchists tend to excel at. I think they tend to be bad about attending, like, city council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Before things happen, you know, like,
and
getting legislation and stuff like that passed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that is the long term, the only long term solution.
No, I'm not against like going in all the fronts in this sense, but I also understand like, if you are going to take actions with your own hands, which is important too in this, you know, in case like that. And anyway, any case,
I don't feel one way or the other about it. I'm no, just yeah, acknowledging no, but, that it's
but
happening.
I'm just, no, wait.
Because it's illegal.
Wait, but yeah, if you're okay. If you're going to do it, like, you really don't want to be like the you don't want to call attention to yourself.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be the person who's going to the council meeting.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you want, but you want other people, like, yeah, other people might, you know, you're just attacking all the fronts, like,
well, and
the same way, like, there are non-anarchists doing that too. There will be, yeah, go, if you're, go to the meeting and that's what you do, do it, like, just attack all fronts and...
Yeah. You know, I think you have situations where maybe those things work hand in hand, you know, like in Cleveland, where the city council voted to remove all the Flock cameras, and then through some, you know, chicanery, they were forced to vote on it again, basically. And in the meantime, the cameras remained operational.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very interesting time to intervene in a very physical way, you know, because there you have, like, possibly even, like, legislative cover, but definitely public opinion.
But it on your seems, side, you but know? It seems like from what you were saying before, it seems like there is already, like, a popular.
Yes.
So you don't really have to wait for you.
No one's suggesting you have to wait. I'm saying it's interesting.
Yeah, but no, you kind of said that. You said, like,
I didn't.
You. So what did you say? You said, like, go to the meeting and in the in between things when they are like.
I didn't say go to the meeting and then in between things do things.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Nobody said that. You're making really, it up. Really, yes, you're really filling my mouth with things I did not say.
That's okay.
There's different reasons to intervene physically, right? There's to draw attention to their existence.
Yes.
Right? And then other times there really is, like, right? But those early on actions are not going to be permanent solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you've got something like what's going on in Cleveland, you may actually be decommissioning cameras that will never be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And so I'm just saying there are different times and probably even the way you would want to approach those two situations might be different, you know?
Yes.
If you're doing it to draw attention to them, you might want to really make sure that you are being extremely careful and not talking to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
But I could see in, like, a Cleveland situation, I mean, it would be illegal still, but, like, an above, like, a community group. If you, in one of those things where if you get enough people to do something, it almost ceases to be illegal, you know? Mm-hmm. If you had a group of 50 or 100 people go around the city on a public day, removing them, you know, this is a whole different bag. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, where I'm saying, like, I just think there's a lot of room for outreach and crossover, because this needs to be addressed on every level, including, like, the very legalistic ones. You know?
Yes.
And because it seems to cross political boundaries as well, I think the space for intervention and you know, also, yeah, like, finding people, you know, because it's becoming public discourse very quickly. Yeah, I mean, I would say that's when you were asking before, like, what is good versus bad or better or worse.
No, about what is different
about, yeah,
I don't use
fair good and bad. About right wingers. Well, I'll say what's better or worse about right-wingers engaging in that is just that when something is a publicly hot topic and there's an obviously correct position, being the milieu or brand or whatever you want to call it to get there first with the most definitely has its advantages, you know, and then people associate that with your ideology or whatever you want to call it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think that's also interesting. Yeah, I think it's fascinating that it with Flock, it's really taking off in a way that it didn't always, which to me, like, kind of just reflects, like, Americans' lack of understanding about how things work. Like, to me, I've always assumed that, like, almost every security camera, since things went online, basically, I've assumed that any web-enabled security camera could be networked.
Yes.
You know, and was essentially searchable.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess Americans need everything put into one database and really have be beat over the head with the fact that it's extremely searchable. And part of what I think is really doing is how easily searchable it is, right? And so there keep being these stories that come out about police officers being suspended or being cited or even arrested, depending on the severity, for using them to stalk exes, to stalk not even exes, just women that they want to interact with more often, you know? Because you can, you just put in someone's license plate number and now you know where that person goes every single day. Yeah. You know their whole route, you know?
Yeah.
And then similarly, I think, you know, Ben Jordan has done some fascinating, angling on some of this, right? Where there is, I think he has a perspective that in some ways, really viscerally flips security versus insecurity on its head, right? Where places that you would, and I think that this is where it hits people outside of any kind of like a political mindset, even regardless of like what political orientation, but like where places that one thinks of maybe that you're a normal American maybe thinks of wanting security, like a children's playground or something in an urban area, right? Where you're like, oh yeah, it might be good to like have like some sort of a, I mean, not for me a security guard, but an adult who's like responsible for just like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And so in this automation of security, it feels intuitive to like a police force or a city board or whatever to put a Flock camera pointed at a children's playground.
Yeah.
Except that when you have like an easily hackable, nationally networked series of cameras, and one of them is just a 24-hour webcam of a children's playground, all of a sudden, like, that feels really different to people, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to explain to people why that's suddenly weird, you know?
Yes.
One of the ones that he pulled in his town was they found that there was one in like the YMCA or something, you know, that the YMCA basically had like used them as their company for security cameras. And so, yeah, there was one that just watched, like, children's gymnastics.
Yeah.
All the time. Just a camera linked to the web that's just nothing but a stream of, like, little kids doing gymnastics, you know? And it turned out that there had been a weird number of logons to that one, you know? And so, yeah, I think I don't know exactly how that ties into, like, this that we were talking about before, but I think that, like, the different angles and how it is, as long as we don't let it go past us, I think it is like a boiling point for the public's acceptance of surveillance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think we're seeing the reaction now to it that I honestly expected to happen when, like all the, like, Edward Snowden leaks came out in 2012. Yeah. You know? And honestly, like, the lack of reaction to that was, like, one of the things that, like, seriously, like, black-pilled and burned me out. Was just that, like, I had always thought that if people found out about all this stuff, they would freak out and do something.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Snowden stuff was all over TV for a year. And we found out that everything was tapped and everything was wired and everything was monitored and everything was bulk collected and no one fucking did anything. And I was just like, well, that's a wrap.
I mean, I think if people don't realize how close some things are to them, like if it's distance, if it's on the TV, you know, but it's easier to just leave it. While if you actually, like, one interesting thing I think is really, if you are a person that don't want to do anything illegal, or you can also, like, just put a lot of signs, like, this is a flaw camera, this is watching, like, you're being wide streamed to the whole country. I don't know, just because, you need to make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think one thing that's interesting is, like, even Americans that don't identify as lawbreakers, your car is a very interesting zone because, like, almost everybody speeds, you know? And so your car actually is a place where you're, like, pretty, and many people drive with expired tags sometimes or a suspended license occasionally. You know, I mean, just mm-hmm. like very normal white middle class people are regularly.
Yeah, no, breaking the law is something that happens all the time. Right. That's the thing with prisons, but you target
right
specific people, but
yes,
law being it happens all the time, every day.
And this was one of the things I
all class. It's not a class thing.
Yeah, well, and this is one of the things that I had speculated on like a decade ago, was that like as enforcement became more and more automated, not that it would discriminate less, because things would just get worse and worse for the people who are already targeted, but that larger and larger swaths of society would be included in law enforcement, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's the thing that right now seems anomalous.
Although, like, they would be included, but in a more soft way, like...
But to them, it will feel jarring, because they've never been included before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah, going from I speed every day on my way to work to I drive the speed limit every day on my way to work because the camera on the highway doesn't care that I'm, like, a fucking white dude who works in finance. You know, it just sends me fucking tickets anyway. And now those tickets are moving violations that are starting to stack up and threaten my license. You know, and then this camera will also know when it sees my car that the owner of that car's license is suspended.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like an officer where when I drive by him as a white dude in a suit, he just goes, nothing weird there, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's interesting. But then there's also the fact that, and, you know, my complaint here is not that it doesn't work well. But that, yeah, I mean, at least for now, it's also really fucking dangerous because it's not very good AI. And so it regularly mistakes one car for another. And there's an increasing number of accounts of where, like, it marks someone's car as like stolen, like it mistakes their car for a stolen car. Yeah. And then they're in like the Walmart parking lot with like police guns in their face, you know, and it's not even.
Yeah, that is jarring. Although there is something about the knowledge that these things makes mistakes, that you have like a loophole, you know? It's I'm not saying that going to Walmart with a lot of gun pointed, I mean, going back to the Walmart parking lot, and there's, I'm not saying that's cool, but the fact that the technology is not that quite good still gives you some room.
See, if we had less police, maybe it would, I feel like. But the fact that police can actually respond to all the things, and then they, right?
And all How the, is that?
And all the calls that are correct, they get correct. And all the calls that are wrong, they just go, sorry, mistake. Not my mistake. Yeah. You know, the machine's mistake, which I'm not responsible for, and the company is probably legally, you know, protected from in one way or another, or at the very least insured, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry that your day was interrupted by being thrown on the ground with guns pointed at your head. Like, you know, might not happen again.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, you're white, because that's how you get out of the, I don't know. What else? Is there anything you feel like it's worth it, like discussing on this subject or from this post or?
I don't have like one coherent thread through the whole thing. I think those are the angles that have been interesting to me in the last like month or two, as this has really blown up in the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did think that the video that we watched, where Tyler Oliveira followed around a masked person tearing down the cameras, was really interesting. Just in so far as that, like, you know, when I was young, like, the ALF, you know, and ELF would like release these like grainy videos of themselves doing things so that people A, knew that it had really been done, and B, could see how to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And just this like high def YouTube 6 million, you know, follower accounts, who aren't even politically aligned with us in any fucking way, and not a normal day, or even like our enemies, you know, just absolutely fascinated by it and promoting it for us is interesting.
Yeah. I will say, like, I think, all against the thing, or everyone's taking these things down, but I will say though that it's like, at least from this post, like I do like this kind of playful way that anarchists, because the difference, if you want to say that, like the propaganda from the more to the right, it's kind of like, it's them also like seems like taking themselves too seriously, or you know, that keep doing it, keep removing it, do what you're doing. But here is just me, like, of course talking good, talking well, I don't know how, about the anarchist way, because I just like it, so, not important for this discussion, but I like the playfulness, and, and interacting with people, hey!
Yeah.
It's something that is actually, I think it's important, but of course, not to take these things down, but how to relate to people and to life in general. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yep, and I don't have much, so thank you for the interview, I guess.
All right, another one in the can.
Okay.
Donnie fucking don't.
Chee-chee.
Out.
Bye.